I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 15, and we're going to read just one verse, verse 26. In Exodus, God is showing himself mighty and strong to the children of Israel, and we find him forming one of the very first covenants with them, and he reveals himself to them and declares that he is their healer. He is their great physician. And he says right here in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, and he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, in the Hebrew, he said, for I am Jehovah Rapha. I'm your great physician. I'm the Lord your healer, praise God. And so God was speaking to his people, declaring a covenant with them and revealing to them that he would be their healer, praise God. Aren't you glad God is the healer? Amen. And notice here that he said, I'll be your healer, praise God. I'll be the Lord your God who heals you. Meaning what? He's wanting them to come into another revelation of himself. They've already found that God's the deliverer. He'd already delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. He'd already shown them he's the God of miracles. He'd already done great miracles before them. Praise God. And now the Lord is declaring to them, I am the Lord your healer. Notice he says, I'm not the Lord who puts diseases on my people. Well, that's a good revelation, isn't it? Hallelujah. Actually, they tell us in the Hebrew, everything in the English was directed and translated in the positive or the causative sense. And all these verbs should have been actually permissive. He should have, what it could have read and should have read, some of the Hebrew scholars, as I looked it up, said that I will permit none of these evil diseases upon you, which came upon the Egyptians. In other words, if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, I'll be a healer and not allow this stuff to come on you, praise God. Now, that's good news, isn't it? And then God tells them basically two keys to operate in the benefits of this new covenant. Notice he's forming a covenant. What's a covenant? It's an agreement between God and us. Amen? So God is saying, I want you to come in agreement with me, and I'm setting up an agreement with you that I will be your healer, and I won't allow things to come on you that came on the world if you'll do two things. And those two things he tells them to do is this, heed the voice of the Lord your God. Notice that he says, if you'll heed the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight. What's he saying? He's saying, if you'll be led by the Spirit, number one, as a Christian, if I want to activate the benefit of God, I need to listen to what God has to say and do what he tells me to do. Amen. How can I expect God to do for me if I don't do what he says to do? And so the very first thing he says is this, when you find yourself in a situation, don't listen to everybody else, listen to me. Amen. Amen? When you find yourself under attack, take heed to what I have to say about that. In other words, put emphasis on what I'm saying. Be led by the Spirit, not led by the flesh. Why would you bring that out so strong? Because when you find yourself in a mess, how many of you found out there's all kinds of voices talking to you? Amen. There are things that you don't need to be listening to when you find yourself needing deliverance or healing. Amen. And so God says, when you find yourself under attack, he says, I'm the Lord your God who will heal you and deliver you out of that. But the first thing, if you're going to get the benefit of me being your healer and protector, you need to listen to me, be led by my Spirit, and do the right thing. Do what I'm telling you to do. Amen. How many of you know God knows how to get you out of that mess? And if you'll listen to him, he'll guide you right out of it. Then the second thing that he says here that you're supposed to do is to keep his commandments. Meaning what? I need to get into the Word of God and find out what God has to say. Notice that he says there's two keys here for you to walking in your healing benefits. He says the two keys are be led by the Spirit and be a doer of the Word. Amen. You know what that is? That's the two ingredients to living by faith. You cannot live by faith just by the Word only. You can't live by faith just by the Spirit only. Come on. Because you see, if you don't know what the Word says, you're not going to pay attention to what the Spirit's saying because he's going to guide you in line with the Word. And you can know what the Word says, but not listen to the Holy Spirit and know how to work it in your life, and still it won't do you any good. How many of you know that knowledge just doesn't get it done for you? Amen? See? No, you have to have a revelation on how to use that knowledge. And so God tells the children of Israel, I'm going to be the Lord your God, and I'm going to be Jehovah Rapha to you. I'm going to be your healer. I'm going to come into a covenant agreement with you that I won't allow the things that came upon the Egyptians, all those diseases, all those sicknesses of the world, I'll protect you from them. But there's two things that you have to do if you want to walk in the benefit of this covenant. You have to listen to me and do what my word says. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to do that in anything. Anybody found that out? If the Holy Ghost convicts your heart as a sinner, you can sit there and fight off that conviction knowing you should confess Jesus as your Lord. But if you act on the Word and be led by the Spirit, guess what? You'll get born again. Praise God. Amen. You can be born again and mess up. Anybody ever messed up besides me? Come on, I've got my hand lifted up. Have you ever messed up and you found yourself out of fellowship with God and the Holy Spirit began to convict your heart and be leading you towards 1 John 1:9? Go ahead and admit that. Confess that. Repent of that. Well, you know what? If you listen to what God's telling you to do and say, Lord, I missed it. I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. I just make my commitment to you and not do that again if you help me, Lord. You know what God will do? He'll work in your behalf and forgive you and restore you back into fellowship. So anything you're going to do to activate any benefit of a covenant that you have with God or an agreement you have with God is this. You have to listen to what God is telling you, be led by the Spirit, and then act upon the Word and do what He tells you to do. And if you will, then you release Him to do for you what He said He would do. Amen? But we have a part, and God has a part, because a covenant is formed between two people. Amen? A covenant is an equal agreement. In other words, I got my part to do, and God's got His part to do. Amen? The covenant of salvation is what? If I believe in my, Romans 10:9-10, if I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me, God raised Him from the dead, and confess Him as my Lord, I shall be saved. Amen? God's part is to save me. You know what my part is? Is to believe that Jesus is Lord, believe He died for my sins, believe God raised Him from the dead, act upon that, confess Him as my Lord, give my life to Him, and God will save me from my sins. Hallelujah. There's a God part and our part. Hallelujah. My part is to listen to God, be led by the Spirit of God, hear God's voice in that situation, and then do what His Word says to do. And you know what we need to do? We need to receive the Lord God as our healer. Amen. Somebody says, well, that's Old Testament. Well, look in Acts chapter 10. Let's go to the New Testament. Praise God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. I want you to see something over here. This is Peter preaching to Cornelius' house. He's preaching, you know, the Lord had showed him, you know, to the sheet coming down and not to call anything common or unclean that God's cleansed. And he was preparing him to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel to them. Why? Because even though they're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, they still felt like they couldn't go to the Gentiles and eat with them because they were unclean. And so, you know, Peter being, you know, having the traditions that he had been taught had not been released yet to feel like he could go to anybody and eat with them or be with them. But God was saying, no, this salvation isn't just for the Jewish generation and Jewish people. It's for all people. And so don't worry about it. Just go ahead. I've set this up for you. Amen. And so he revealed that to Peter. So Peter goes to Cornelius' house, asking him what's going on. He tells him about the angel. He tells him about the visitation. So Peter begins to preach the gospel to him. Hallelujah. Of course, we know the story. They all got saved, filled the Holy Ghost, and joined, and the church was united. Jewish and Gentile was brought together under the Lordship of Jesus. Amen? He's Messiah to us all. Isn't that right? Come on. Hallelujah. But in verse 38, listen to what he preaches. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Now we find this, that Jesus is the healer. Amen. The same God we're talking about that formed the covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egyptian bondage in Exodus 15 is now the same God who's anointing His Son to be healer also. Hallelujah. Amen. So just like the children of Israel received Jehovah Rapha as their Lord, their healer, you and I need to receive the Lord Jesus as our healer. Praise God. He is our Jehovah Rapha. He is our Lord and physician. And this is the thing, folks. You have to receive Jesus as your healer to get the benefits of His healing power, just like you had to receive Him as Savior to get salvation benefits. Amen? It's whatever part of the Lordship of Jesus you receive in your life is the part that you'll begin to operate in your life. Amen? So you're never going to get healed until you understand that Jesus is your healer and realize that He's come to set you free from all the diseases and that He is your Lord healer and you receive Him. Then the benefits of that power can flow to you. Amen. I love the Lord. I mean, I was totally on fire for God, serving God, witnessing for the Lord, and sick all the time. Why? Because I didn't know that Jesus was the healer, praise God. But then one day I got some truth into me from these scriptures, and all of a sudden I found out, no, praise God, the same God that was the healer of the old covenant, He's the same God that's a healer of the new covenant. Hallelujah. And the Lord is my great physician. And you know what? If I'll do what He tells me to do and follow Him and be a keeper of His word and be led by His Spirit, then He'll be my healer. Hallelujah. And so I accepted Jesus as my healer. So therefore, Jesus is my physician, praise God. He's my Savior. He got me set free from sin. He's my Lord. He watches over me every day. He's my shepherd. He leads me through the life. He's also my intercessor. He's up in heaven praying for me so that I can get through some problems. Amen. He's my advocate if I mess up, and He is also my healer. Hallelujah. Praise God. And see, whatever part of the Lord you accept is the benefit that you get in your life from Him. Amen? So we make Jesus our healer. Hallelujah. We turn to Him and call upon Him to receive healing in our life. Now, how am I going to function in this? Look in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Praise God. So I like looking at scriptures. Have you found that out? Psalm 107, let's look in verses 1 and 2. I want you to see something here. It'll help you, praise God. David is speaking out, and you know, I know it's Old Testament. Some people say, that's just Old Testament. Well, so is the 23rd Psalm, but you sure quote that all the time. Amen. I mean, if one Psalm's for you, then all of them are. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing how religion will pick some for today and some aren't for today? And, you know, that's Old Testament. This, well, you know, this, you know, the Lord didn't come and do away with the old covenant. He came and fulfilled it, praise God. Amen. So we get all of that plus, hallelujah. That's why it's a better covenant established on better promises. We get all the benefits they had plus all the new ones that He brought with Him, praise God. And so in Psalm 107, verse 1, He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Oh, my goodness, we can just stop and camp out there for about a month or two and just shout because He's good. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad we serve a good God? He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. You know what His mercy is? It's whenever you messed up. Amen? It's when you don't deserve getting a blessing and He's merciful to you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad His mercy endures forever? And some of us, I believe, have stretched it almost to forever. Hallelujah. Amen? But thank God it'll get us on through to forever. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. But notice He says this, His mercy endures forever. Then He says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed or delivered from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. Notice this. He's talking to the redeemed. Well, He's got to be talking to you and me because we're the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So therefore, that scripture is as much for me as it was for Him because I'm purchased of God. I've been redeemed, praise God. Notice He says who I've been redeemed from. I've been redeemed from the power, the direction, and the hold of Satan upon my life. Amen. That means that Jesus Christ has paid the price for me to break out and get set free from whatever's trying to hold me in bondage. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. And you know, to help me to get through that and get out of my bondage, I've got His mercy operating in my life. And He's there to be helpful to me, praise the Lord. And notice that He says to do something. If you want to walk in the blessing of your redemption, He says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. So you got to follow directions. Remember, I want you to follow this theme all the way through this teaching that the Lord has said, I'll be your healer. I'll deliver you from all this stuff that's in the world. But there are two things you're going to have to do. You have to listen to me and do what my word says. Amen. So if I want the Lord's mercy and the reality of my redemption operating in me, the benefits of it, then I have to talk my redemption, not my problem. Amen. I don't talk about how the devil has his hand on me. I talk about I've been delivered from his hand. I don't talk about how bad things are. I talk about the Lord's bringing me out, praise God. I talk about the answer, not the problem, praise the Lord. And so he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That means I need to say what he says. Isn't that right? Talk what he talks. In other words, if the covenant's going to work, I have to come in agreement with God. Isn't that right? To come in agreement with God, I have to believe like God, talk like God, and act with God. Amen? Huh? I mean, you know, if I came down here to Tony and I said, listen, I want you to come in agreement with me. And I said, you know, let's count to 10. And we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I start going 1, 2, 3. And he gets to about 3 with me. And then he goes 20, 21, 22. There's no agreement. He's not saying what I'm saying. We're never going to get to 10 like that. If he wants to get to 10 with me, he's got to say the numbers I'm saying. Amen? And he's got to say it with me. Praise God. And he's got to understand that there's a reason that I'm wanting to get to 10, praise God, because it's at 10 that everything starts working, hallelujah. But you see, we've got to come in agreement. God said, I'm already in agreement. I'm merciful. I've already redeemed you. I've already delivered you. I'm your Lord, your healer. I'm the God that's more than enough. I'm ready to deliver you from all these things, but you have to listen to me and do it my way to get the benefit of what's going on, amen. And he says, to do that, you have to begin to change your talk, change your attitude, and hook up with me, praise God. Amen? Now, let's read down here in verse 20. Look what he says. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, for you and me to walk in our healing benefits, you'll never walk in anything until you get the word for that. Amen? Because you and I do not have any rights whatsoever if we cannot find it in the Scripture. Amen. I don't have any right to say anything or believe anything that's not written down in this book. Because this is God's covenant to me. And I am to come into agreement with God. Notice it's not God. Notice it doesn't say here, and let the Redeemer of the Lord tell his people what to say. No, it says, let the Redeemed of the Lord say what the Redeemer says. Amen? In other words, the Lord has already declared what he wants done. Now he's telling us to come in agreement and say the same thing he says. Amen? In other words, the next time you start feeling bad, you say, wait a minute, Lord, you're merciful to me, and I'm walking in your mercy and not your judgment, and I'm coming out of this, praise God. Devil, that's not God condemning me. That's you condemning me. That's not God trying to stop me from getting blessed. That's you trying to stop me. Devil, that's not God telling me I'm unworthy. That's you telling me I'm unworthy. Devil, it's you that's trying to stop me from walking in my covenant redemption blessings, but the Lord is my healer and my deliverer, and his word says that I'm going to hook up with God and do what he says. Hallelujah. Why? Because if I heed his voice and not the devil's voice, if I listen to what God's saying to do and not the world, and say what God says and do what he says to do, then I get the blessing of my redemption. Amen? But you see, for you to operate in your redemptive privileges, you have to have the word to operate on. Faith always operates on the word of God. Amen? And so you drop back here to verse 19. Listen to what it says. Now, these are the same redeemed people, hallelujah, that are in verses 1 and 2. These are the same people that he's already paid the price for them to be set free, delivered, and walking in victory. But now look what he says in verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Whoa, you mean redeemed people have trouble? I mean, you know, I thought he was talking about redeemed people. Lord, have mercy. These people are, you know, they must not have been really redeemed then because they are in trouble. No, how many of you found out? It don't matter how much you washed in the blood. Amen. There's still a lot of trouble around you. Amen. Notice what he says. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. What's that mean? This is good news for you, folks. You're up here. No, I'm giving you good news tonight. See, you are redeemed. The Lord has paid the price. He's brought you out of bondage. But every now and then, I know you didn't mean to. And I know your intentions were good. And I know you woke up that morning and lifted your hands up to heaven and said, today's going to be a great day. I'm going to walk in my righteousness. I'm going to be an overcomer. And before you had breakfast, you was in your... And in your trouble, you started crying out to the Lord. You hadn't even gotten your shire in yet. I mean, you had barely gotten the hands down. Amen. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Why? Because just because you're the redeemed doesn't mean there's not a big bullseye on you and the devil's out to get you. And you're still going to have struggles and you're still going to have tests. That's why the Lord told him in Exodus, he said, if you'll do this, I'll keep all those things off of you. Amen? I'll be the Lord your healer. Well, if they didn't get on you every now and then, you wouldn't have to be healed, would you? Come on. I'll say it again. If you didn't need to be healed, you know, if they didn't get on you every now and then, you wouldn't need to be healed, would you? He wouldn't have to be your healer if it was always going to be, you know, fun and games all the time. But every now and then, we find ourselves in a little bit of trouble. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Every now and then, we find ourselves where we didn't listen to his voice. Every now and then, we find ourselves where we didn't say that we're the redeemed. Every now and then, we find ourselves maybe where we listened to the wrong thing, said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, and all of a sudden, oh, God. And here comes the devil telling you you're unworthy and you're not going to make it. But the Lord says, no, wait a minute. I formed a covenant with you. I haven't changed. I haven't stopped being your Lord. I've not stopped being your healer. I've not stopped being your deliverer. I'm still here. And you know what? These people grabbed a hold of redemption and realized redemption doesn't make me perfect. Redemption puts me in a place where I can live for God and overcome these things when I mess up. Redemption puts me in a place where I can get healed when sickness attacks my body. Redemption puts me in a place where I can be delivered when the enemy tries to put distress upon me. You see, I'm in covenant with God, and I have the benefit of having him work with me in life. Hallelujah. And so therefore, he says, in their distress, in their trouble, they cried unto the Lord. And what did he do when they cried unto the Lord? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them and brought them out of their destruction. How did he heal them? He took them back to his word. Why? Because God does everything through his word. You're not ever going to get a blessing trying to get it on God help me, crying, moaning, groaning, fussing, complaining, and trying to talk God into it. No. That's not what's going to get it done. What you have to do is go right back to your covenant with God. You need to listen to what God has to say in the midst of your distress and hook up with that word and begin to confess it out of your mouth and say, Lord, I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I trust you right now that your word that saved me the first time is big enough to get me out of the mess again. Hallelujah. Amen. And you are watching over your word to perform it, and you're the God of your word. You do everything through your word, and the covenant established on your word, and your word is your will. So therefore, I receive your word bringing me out of this mess. Amen. Because if I've got God's word on it, I have a foundation for my faith to work. If I've got God's word on it, I have a foundation for my prayer to work. I'm not praying and believing I received it because I feel better. You know, feelings cannot be trusted. How many of you found that out? Huh? You can pray, and boy, when you get done praying, whoa, I just feel so good. I know I'm blessed now. And, you know, then take two steps and fall over. What do you do whenever the feeling leaves? Oh, I don't guess I got it. You know, well, that's you never did get it because you're never going to be able to get anything just going on feeling. A lot of people base whether they're getting better or getting worse on how they feel. You should be basing everything you believe on what God's Word says. And I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to go back and listen to God. And when God reminds me of his word, I'm going to hook up with God. And I'm going to be the redeemed. And I'm going to say so. I'm going to start talking God's talk. Amen. I'm going to say it when I don't feel like it. I'm going to say it when it don't look like it. I'm going to say it whenever the enemy's telling me to shut up. In fact, the more he talks, the louder I'm going to say the word. Hallelujah. Because the Lord said if I would listen to him and do what he says to do and act on his word, that he would be my healer. Hallelujah. And notice here, whenever they cried out to the Lord, he didn't strike a new covenant with him. He didn't come in and try to save him again. He just sent his word and said, here, you want to get set free? Here's the word. Go act on the word and he'll set you free. Hallelujah. Do what the word says. Say what the word says. Believe what the word says and it'll work in your life. Praise God. Now, I want to show you something, what the word says about healing. There are three areas, there are more, but let's look at three different areas that the Lord will actually do great works in our lives and heal us. The first one, let's look in Matthew, the 15th chapter. The Gospel of Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 30 and 31. This is the Lord Jesus, our healer. And in Matthew chapter 15, reading in verses 30 and 31, listen to what he has to say here. He says, then great multitudes came to him, having with them, now listen to who they had, the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, that word maimed there is folks that have been crippled, and many others. And they laid them down at the Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Ooh, glory. He healed them. I mean, hopeless situations. I mean, incurable situations. It didn't matter. Every kind of physical infirmity you can think of is listed right here in this thing. And they put them at Jesus' feet and he healed them. Now look what the next verse says. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole. In other words, the crippled got up, praised God. And the lame walking and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you something, folks. It is time for us to start believing God again to see folks that have been crippled and can't get around getting healed and out of wheelchairs and back to living for God and bodies put back together. Amen. It's time to see miracles, signs, and wonders because Jesus has not changed. Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by his stripes you were healed. Jesus is the healer of our bodies. Hallelujah. Come on. But you know what? For you to walk in that healing power and see these miracles in your life, you had to accept Jesus as your healer and believe he's your healer, that he didn't just redeem you from sickness, he redeemed you he redeemed you from sickness and disease. Amen? And just like he redeemed you from sin and you confess him as Lord over that, he redeemed you from sickness and you confess him as Lord over that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? The Lord is my healer, and he's going to make me whole. Hallelujah. Amen. So the first thing we've got is we've got his word, that Jesus is the healer of our physical bodies. Aren't you glad? And you can read through the Gospels, and you can find that he healed every kind of physical infirmity that you can think of. And probably some you can't. Because John wrote and said, if we wrote down all the miracles and the healings and the great things Jesus did, he said, I suppose there wouldn't be enough paper and books in the world to print what all he did in that 3.5 years. Praise God. Hallelujah. And what we've got here is a list that Jesus showed us that there's nothing too great, nothing too big, nothing too hard that he can't take care of if we'll come to him and believe. Amen. You've got to make him your healer, though. You got to say, Lord, you're my healer, my physician, and I'm going to look to you. Number two, let's look over here in Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter. Luke chapter 4. What's another area that the Lord heals? See, we talk a lot of times, and we just stay on physical healing. And thank God we need to, because, you know, you've got to teach it to get faith into people. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so we have to teach constantly that Jesus is our healer. And we have to get in the Word and meditate and build that into our lives and build it into our consciousness and trust Him and accept Him and receive Him as our healer. Amen? But in Luke 4:18, we find another area that the Lord's a healer in. He says in verse 18, and here he is speaking at his hometown Nazareth. He's teaching out of the book of Isaiah. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me. What's he anointed you to do, Lord? To preach the gospel to the poor. But notice the next part. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Glory to God. You know, I got to studying this out and praying over this. And the Lord said, my people need to know that I see their broken hearts. And he says, I've come to heal broken hearts too. There are a lot of Christians today that are just covering up a brokenness in their heart. I got to looking at that brokenhearted. It means to shatter, to break in pieces. And the Lord said, I've come to heal a shattered heart. Yeah, you as a Christian, I don't care how strong you are, you can be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit all the time, and somebody can break your heart. Some things can go on that just shatters your heart. And thank God, Jesus said, I've come to heal that broken heart. Hallelujah. That word heal there means to cure and to heal and make whole. He says, I've come to make whole that which has been broken on the inside of you. There are some people today that have a hard time believing, a hard time praying, a hard time trusting, a hard time praising, a hard time doing anything because their heart was broken. Somebody just did them so bad that their heart just got shattered. And if you don't deal with that, it'll control your actions. It'll control how you treat others. It'll control relationships. It'll control you going forward. And God doesn't want anything bad controlling your destiny. He wants to be in control of your destiny. And God doesn't want you getting up every day and trying to hide something from other people or protecting yourself, afraid to trust somebody because somebody did you bad, somebody did you wrong, and broke your heart. And now you're afraid to let your heart get out there anymore because you don't want it broken anymore. And so the Lord said, I understand in this life there are going to be times that things are going to go bad or somebody's going to do you so bad, it's going to just shatter your heart. And you're going to be hurt. And he said, but I've come to heal that hurt because I don't want you living out of a broken heart. I want you to live out of a healed heart. I want you to be able to love and trust and be able to give yourself completely and go forward just like nothing was ever done. Aren't you glad he's the healer of the broken heart? In fact, I want you to look over here in the 147th Psalm. This is so good. Psalm 147. Here, David is speaking along the same lines. And you get down here, and you look in this third verse of Psalm 147, and listen to what he says. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Oh, isn't that good? He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. That word heal here is the same word as found over in Exodus. He heals. He Rapha. Hallelujah. He brings a healing. You know what that means? That word there, Rapha, means? It means to mend. He mends the broken heart. He fixes the broken heart. He cures and makes whole the brokenness of your heart. And then he doesn't just heal up the heart. You know what he does? And he binds up the wounds. You know what he's saying? He says, I'll deliver you from what caused the brokenness. I'll take care of what caused the brokenness. I'll remove the wound. Because you see, if you don't remove the wound, it just keeps being broken over and over again. Even if it heals up, the problem is still there. And the Lord's saying, you know what? I don't want to just heal your broken heart. I want to take what broke it out of your life. I want to deliver you from that. That word wound there, what wounded also means sorrow. And he says, I'll bind up your sorrows. What's he saying? He said, I will put a rope around what's caused you to be hurt and tie it up and roll it away and get rid of it so your heart can be free. Because God wants you and me to be able to love unhindered, to be able to give ourselves and be able to trust. You know, it's sad, and I know a lot. And I've had to deal with it and over and over where we go through situations and our heart gets broken and all of a sudden we build a shell around. But you really see, you got to let God heal that and you got to let God take that out and get rid of those wounds and take rid of that. Because if you don't, you can't truly love and you can't truly trust and you can't truly enjoy life again because you're afraid that it's going to get hurt. But if you let God take what wounded it out and heal you from that and help you to let it go, then all that shatteredness and all that has been splintered gets put back together again. And you become whole. Hallelujah. And you know what you can do then? You can move into the next realm of your life free from your past. Hallelujah. And you can trust again. You can love again. And you can minister again. And you can put yourself back out there again for God to use you. And that's what God's wanting to do. So many people are afraid to step into that next relationship or that next place because they were hurt in the last place and they're still carrying the wound. But Jesus said, I come to heal the brokenhearted. I come to take that wound out. I came to take that out and cause you to be whole so you can go forth unhindered. Isn't that good? Isn't it good that he takes care of us in our trouble and in our distress and in that struggle? What's he do? He just pours his mercy and love in. And if we'll accept his word, he'll heal us and make us so whole, spiritually whole. Hallelujah. Amen. So the second thing the Lord does, he doesn't just heal us physically. See, a lot of times we're healed physically, but we're carrying a harder, a much worse wound on the inside. And so the Lord says, no. I don't want you to just have physical healing. I want you to have full spiritual healing. I want you whole inside and out. I came to take that away. I came to help you to overcome that. I came to help you love and trust and move into the next realm of life and to put everything behind you. kind of like Paul in Philippians when he's talking to him. He says, you know, he says, I'll tell everybody. He says, I haven't arrived yet. I know I got some things I need to do. But he said, one thing I've learned, I let go of those things in the past. I forget them and put them behind me. And I put my eyes on Jesus and I go forward. I let God heal me from all those things and I just go forward. I don't carry that yesterday's hurt into tomorrow's relationship. Are you listening to me? And that's what the Lord's wanting to do tonight. He's wanting to get us to the place where we can lay down a hurt, a trouble, or something that shattered us so that we can move into this next phase, not wounded, not hurt, not broken. Amen? He's our healer, and we need to see that. How do we get that? We have to listen to His voice and act on His word. And He says, I'll be the Lord your healer. Amen? So we're going to let Him heal our hearts here in just a moment. But let's look over just one other place. I said there was three. Look in the 41st Psalm, Psalm 41. Listen to what he says here. David is speaking again. So many great truths that David is speaking out and prophesying to us over here in these Psalms. Psalm 41, verse 4. Listen to what David says here. I said, the Lord be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Heal my soul. What do you mean heal my soul? Well, your soul is your emotions, your mind, your will, your thoughts. See, your soul works in your mind realm. And you know what David's saying? Lord, help me with my thinking. Help me with my thoughts. Help me, you know, I don't want oppression in my mind. I don't want my mind constantly battling me, telling me I'm not worthy, I'm insecure, my mind is constantly fighting me. And Lord, I messed up and I need you to heal my soul. You know, a lot of people today, we have problems right here. We think people see us the way we think about ourselves. When people see us and they see us as wonderful and they love us, but in our mind's telling us they see me as not worthy, they see me as not good, they see me as this. And if you don't let the Lord heal that and take care of that, then your mind keeps you locked down. Insecurity operates in your mind. Inferiority operates in your mind. Condemnation operates in your mind. Guilt from mistakes you made in the past operates your mind. David says, Lord, I cried unto you. I confess, I messed up, now heal my soul. In other words, Lord, I am condemning myself so bad for my mistakes. Would you help me to get over it? Would you get those thoughts out of my mind? Would you help me, Lord God, to get my thinking straightened out so I quit walking around here and by the time I think I'm getting victory, here comes a thought back in and tells me I'm unworthy. And next thing I know, I'm walking around, drooping around with my head down. And anybody know what I'm talking about? Because, see, Satan is the god of this world system. If you read over in 2 Corinthians 4, he says he blinds the minds of those. He operates in the mind realm. And he attacks our minds. And you know what? If you've messed up and you've allowed the enemy to build a fortress in your mind, then a lot of times what's holding us back is not our heart, not the intent of our heart, not the desire to please God, but that guilt and that condemnation, that insecurity, that inferiority, those thoughts of I'm not worthy, just keep keeping us back. And what we have to do is say, Lord, would you do a work in my head? Help me to see myself the way you see me. Help me to think better. Help me to overcome this. Hallelujah. Once again, how's the Lord going to heal my soul? How's He going to help me to quit thinking bad of myself? And you can get around people because I'll be honest with you, folks. What you're thinking will get down in your spirit and it'll get out your mouth. Because I'll get around people, and if you catch them off guard, that's whenever it really happens. Because you say, hey, would you like to do this? Oh, I don't know if I can do that. You see, right here. Because you've maybe done something, you messed up, or something happened, or you tried something, and it didn't work. Now, all of a sudden, the devil's got your head all messed up, and you don't think you can. And if you don't think you can, you never will. And so that's what David is saying. David's saying, Lord, I'm admitting here. Look what he says. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Aren't you glad he said the mercy of the Lord endures forever? Amen. Lord, be merciful to me. In other words, I'm going to make this personal, Lord. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Lord, I messed up. In my head, I can't get over the guilt that I messed up. Anybody here ever messed up and repented and repented and repented and repented and repented. And about the time you think you got it whipped, you get up and you start condemning yourself all over again because you messed up. That's because you got to get your head, you got to get that mind taken care of. You got to get those thoughts of guilt and condemnation and you mess up out of your head. You got to get rid of it. Hallelujah. You got to accept in your heart and then go ahead and set it in your mind. You know what, Lord? I believe that you're going to help me. I'm not going to think like a mess up. I'm going to think like a redeemed person. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to let you help me to get my thinking straightened out so that I can begin to see myself different. And I can be able to act different, talk different, be different. And I can be happy. Hallelujah. Because we as Christians need to be happy. But I want to tell you something, folks. If you got a wound in your heart, it's hard to be happy. And if in your mind you think that people don't like you, you think that you messed up, or you think you don't have a chance, or you think this, and all those thoughts are constantly beating you down, you can't be happy. And so the Lord says, I'm not only the healer of your body and help you to be strong. He said, I want to heal your heart. And I want you to be able to have faith and confidence and be able to trust and love and give of yourself again. And he says, then I want to straighten out your mind. I want you to quit condemning yourself. I want you to quit beating yourself up because you messed up. Amen. I want you to quit thinking that your life is over. I want you to quit thinking you'll never be able to do anything more. I want you to quit thinking that you've done too much and it's too late. Listen, Caleb was 80 years old and he still went and got his mountain. Hallelujah. So it's never too late, but you got to let the Lord take care of your thinking. Amen. And heal your soul. How's he going to do it? James chapter 1. We're going to close it and then we're going to pray because the anointing is here to heal. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, and you drop down here and look in verse 21. How's he going to do this? Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted, infused word which is able to save your soul. How's God going to heal your thinking? You need to let him put his word in there. Instead of thinking thoughts of defeat, think thoughts of the word. And make yourself think the word. Let the word just get implanted in your mind. Quit thinking. Well, I can tell folks that need their soul healed. What do you mean? Well, if you get talking to them a little bit, you say, you know, we can do this. Oh, I'll probably just mess it up. I messed it up so many times, I ain't going to do it anymore because I'll just mess it up. I can't do that. And they're trying to make it out like, you know, da, da, da. And so, but really, they're crying out because in their mind, the enemies beat them down to the point that they really don't think they can do it. They have no confidence. In their heart, they want to. But they need the Lord to change that thinking. The way he changes it, he takes that wrong thinking out. And he engrafts the word in. And he says, every time that thought comes that you're not worthy, you cast it down and think what the word says. Every time you find yourself almost ready to say, I don't think I can do that, stop. Say, no, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm not supposed to be talking that stuff. Devil, you are not ruling my mind anymore. Jesus is the healer of my soul. And my mind is getting renewed with the word, and I'm letting the Lord heal my thinking. Amen. He's going to heal my thinking. He's going to heal my opinions. He's going to heal my attitudes. And he's going to help me to rise up and have confidence that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you see, to receive those benefits, they're all there. What do you have to do? You have to listen to the Lord and do what he says, not listen to the lies and do what they say. Amen. You can't get that mind healed listening to all the junk and thinking it. You have to cast those thoughts down and receive the word and receive your redemption and think what God says to think and say what God has to say. You can't get your heart healed if you hang on to the wound. You listen to me? You can't get your finger healed as long as the splinter's in it. You can put medicine on it. You can put a Band-Aid on it. You can protect it, but you can't get it healed until you pull what's causing the hurt out. God says, I want to heal the broken heart and remove the wound. I want to remove what hurt. I want to remove the cause of the shatterness of your inner person, of your love, why you can't trust. And he says, I want to heal you emotionally. I want to heal you spiritually. I want to heal you physically. I want you to be whole in every area of your life. Isn't that good? That's what our redemption is all about, folks. That's what Jesus came to do. And to, once again, to partake of this benefit, what did he say? He hasn't changed. God doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, the Lord says, I'm the Lord. I change not. James 1 says, there's no shadow of turning with God. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if in Exodus 15:26, he said, the way you partake of these benefits is, listen to me and do what my word says, and all these blessings will come on you. I'll be your healer. So what am I going to do? I'm going to bring you to the place now, because I minister to you. I pray and I seek the Lord for every service. This is a message the Lord spoke to me to minister, and you're supposed to be here to hear this. And now you come to the place where if you want to receive from the Lord, now it's your part to act. What's the Lord saying to you? What's he been speaking to you? You have to heed his voice and do what's right. Act on his word. And that's how his healing comes into your situation. Amen?